You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on Religious Liberty News, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, this first week of September 2024. The Religious Liberty Report, on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches on how to remain faithful to their mission in a culture that is too often disagreeing with our message. On the report, we cover questions, the four great questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? The four great questions of life. A message from one of our friends and sponsors at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, new programs at South Florida Bible College are designed just for you. With their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, a Doctor in Ministry. Aim high with a degree at South Florida Bible College, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees, on campus or online. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling, from associate to doctoral levels. All available both online and on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College provides quality education at an affordable price, fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. Transform your future at South Florida Bible College. In Psalm 119, verse 103, we read, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth." Psalm 119, verse 103. In Psalm 138, verse 8, we read, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." And in Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, we find, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it." You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of September 2024, reminding you that more data has been produced in the last 2 years than in the whole of human history. An ocean of information getting more turbulent by the day. Turning to page one of the report, in this first week of September 2024, huge deficit spending. The U.S. deficit reached nearly $2 trillion dollars in 2023, a historic high outside of wartime or national emergency. In theory, there is no limit to the level the deficit can reach in the United States. After all, the U.S. government can issue the debt and the Federal Reserve can buy it all. But the problem shows up in the value of the dollar. Not just against other currencies, because other governments are devaluing their own currencies in the same way. However, the value of what the dollar is worth in terms of real goods and services that people need is being diminished. The Federal Reserve, that is acting as if inflation is under control. The inflation problem is not one to worry about in any extreme manner. But many scholars, many economists are saying that given the trajectory of future deficit spending, we are really just in the opening stages of a larger, wider inflation problem an inflationary cycle. On page 2 of the report, increasing conflict. The intensity of global conflicts is escalating. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the war in Gaza, there has accelerated a shift away from global trade, global cooperation, countries prioritizing their own supply chains, securing their own supply chains, and others trying furiously to develop parallel financial systems, making them less vulnerable to U.S. foreign policy. This retreat from global integration is likely to increase tensions and create further instability. Turning to page 3 of the report, this first week of September 2023. Terrible news out of the Middle East. Held by Hamas, 6 hostages for over 300 days, shot in the back of the head, including an Israeli American. The response, apparently, of the rest of the world is to tell Israel to make more concessions to Hamas. And that included the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, who said that Benjamin Netanyahu is not doing enough to resolve the conflict in Gaza. Israel, going through a massive trauma since October 7th of last year, a trauma that was revived again a couple of days ago when 6 hostages were found dead. And look, there are political divides in Israel, and everyone knows that, but Biden coming out to say that Bibi Netanyahu is not doing enough to free the hostages, this is just pouring fuel on the fire. America's most important ally in the Middle East needs more from America and its leaders. America's most important ally in the Middle East, the people of Israel, need some comfort. One commentator said that Israel, what really needs is a hug. The Israeli people, they do not need to be told that they're not doing enough to free the hostages. The Holy Bible, selling 2,000 copies an hour in America. 20 million copies are sold a year. People care about the Bible because they know it's the last authentic, anchoring wisdom and value system that we have left in our country and in the world today. The Holy Bible. The values of the Judeo-Christian ethic set forth in that book. The Bible. The book that lives in the land of Israel. You can authenticate the stories of the Bible, the events in the Bible, the archaeology in the Bible. You just go there and it matters. It matters to a lot of people what happens in Israel, what happens to Israel. And it should matter, because again, it is from Israel that the wellspring of the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's why it's so important that America stand up for the Jewish state. In fact, one scholar, a former ambassador to Israel, U.S. ambassador, David Freeman, in his book, One Jewish State, argues that the last best hope to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a one Jewish state. Somewhat of a taboo of a subject, especially with everyone talking about a two-state solution, a self-governing Palestinian state. But David Freeman arguing that a single Jewish state is the last best hope to resolve the Middle East conflict. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman argues that the best and only solution in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is Israeli sovereignty over the whole territory of Israel, not only in Gaza, but also the West Bank, Judea, and Samaria. What's the case for that? The case that Mr. Friedman makes is that's always been made, is that a two-state solution is best and there has to be a self-governing Palestinian state in which Palestinians govern Palestinians and Israelis govern Israelis. But the former U.S. ambassador makes the case that the opposite is actually true. He argues in his book One Israel that a two-state solution is never going to happen. He further argues and explains why Israel should govern areas like Gaza and the West Bank. Friedman explains in his book One Israel that the two-state solution, as we've come to know it, has not worked. It's been attempted to establish a two-state solution in Gaza and the West Bank about 17 years ago in Gaza, for example, and the Gazans were given a lot of money. Today, not a single Jew is living in Gaza. And billions of dollars have been transferred to West Bank and Gaza authorities. Gaza, for example, could have become a beautiful Mediterranean coast, an enclave in the western part of Israel, a Palestinian state. Instead, they created a terrorist state. The two-state solution has not worked, argues David Friedman. What we have today in the West Bank, for example, under Mahmoud Abbas, is what they call Area A, established under the Oslo Accords in the mid-1990s. Today, the West Bank, what is referred to in the Bible as Judea, Samaria, is entirely Arab. And these places have become hotbeds of terrorism. The two-state solution has failed, argues David Friedman, former U.S. ambassador to Israel, in his new book, One Israel. He argues that the two-state solution will continue to fail. So he asks, what do we do? The question is, what do we do now? Is there anyone that can rule today in these Palestinian territories? Friedman says yes. And his answer is the Israelis. The Israelis with a track record of empowering Arab minorities. Even in the state of Israel today, 20% of the state of Israel are Arab citizens. More than 20% of students at Haifa University, Bar Sheva University, Hebrew University in Tel Aviv are Arabs. Arabs have assimilated and penetrated Israeli society in a very positive way. There are many Palestinians and Arabs at the pinnacle of business and science in the state of Israel. In fact, if you suffer an injury, for example, if you break a leg in Israel today, you might go to the Hadassah hospital where you're probably going to get treated by an Arab orthopedic surgeon, who will very likely do a very good job in treating you. Yes, Israel, the only country that can export this very kind of progress in a very dangerous and unstable area. Israel, working to liberate the Palestinians in a sense, enable local Palestinians to have a standard of living that rises up to that of Israeli Arabs. We're already seeing it in the state of Israel, where up to 20% of this population are Arab. Yes, Israel, a track record of empowering an Arab minority. Friedman also argues for another reason why Israel should govern in the Palestinian territories. A second reason he gives is that we all care about biblical Israel. Christians, Jews alike, caring about places like Hebron, Bethlehem, the old city of Jerusalem. If Israel does not maintain sovereignty over these ancient geographic places of the Bible, we're going to lose them. They'll be gone, argues David Friedman. If Palestinians are given the opportunity to govern these areas, they will wipe out, to the extent possible, any vestiges of the Judeo-Christian ethic and history. Friedman cites the example of the grave of Joseph in Nablus. Palestinians seeking to destroy any connection of the Jews to their ancient homeland And this is a land where Jesus walked. This is a land where Jewish kings ruled and Jewish prophets preached. Places that are valuable to the entire world. The land of Israel is the basis of the DNA of the Jewish people and is essential to all people who observe the Christian faith, the Jewish faith. We can't just give it away. And if we can't give it away, we need to come up with a system to keep it under Israeli sovereignty. And that's David Friedman's point, that there will be no security in the region until Israel is able to rule over the entire land of Israel, to keep the peace. Friedman argues that this is the best thing for Jordan, the best thing for Saudi Arabia, the Emiratis, and ultimately the best thing for the Palestinian people themselves, those living in Judea, Samaria, and in Gaza. Friedman says that whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, whether you're secular or whether you're religious, the best outcome for everyone is to have Israel have complete sovereignty over the entirety of the land of Israel. Friedman acknowledges that this is exactly what former President Donald Trump and he and others were working on when the Trump administration ended. He described it as a sort of unfinished business of trying to find a solution in the Middle East, a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. A Jewish state as the last best hope to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. As presented by David Friedman, former U.S. ambassador to Israel, under Donald Trump. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this first week of September, 2024. Turning the page on the report, forgiving but not forgetting. Did you know that the phrase forgive and forget is not found in the Bible? However, there are numerous verses commanding us to forgive one another. A Christian who is not willing to forgive others will find his fellowship with God hindered, and he or she can reap bitterness and the loss of reward. If by forgive and forget one means I choose to forgive the offender for the sake of Christ and move on with my life, then this could be a wise and godly course of action. As much as possible, we should forget what is behind and strive towards what is ahead, Philippians 3:13. And we should forgive each other just as Christ forgave us. And we must not allow a root of bitterness to spring up in our hearts. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Forgiving but not forgetting. We must remember that changing hearts is God's business. And until the offender has a true supernatural change of heart, it may be wise to limit the level of trust one places in that person. Being cautious doesn't mean we haven't forgiven. It simply means we are not God, and we cannot see what is in that person's heart. Forgiving, but not forgetting. When we neglect or refuse to forgive the sins of others, those who have hurt us, grieved us, we become like a collection agency. The debt of their sin, what they owe us, weighs down on us. We have an obligation to make them pay. At first, it may seem like a positive goal, the prospect of receiving restitution from someone who has wronged us. However, over time, the task of debt collection can become burdensome. When the offender does not meet our expectations, our hearts harden. If we continue the relationship, resentment may creep in. Forgiving, but not forgetting. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. First week of September 2024, talking about forgiveness. Forgetting. Have you heard someone say that forgiveness isn't forgetting? It's just remembering without the anger. Some suggest that forgiveness can't be extended until repentance is first expressed by the offender. This point of view suggests that we can only forgive when someone truly repents, or that we can somehow forgive but not forget. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus prayed for the soldiers who were crucifying him, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And his prayer, asking forgiveness for the soldiers, isn't based on any repentance on the part of the soldiers. In Matthew chapter 18, when Peter asked how many times he's to forgive someone who has sinned against him, Jesus does not condition forgiveness on the requirement for repentance on the part of the offending party. Peter was willing to forgive 7 times, but Jesus said no. It needs to be 70 times 7, which is a hypothetical grand number, a number suggesting that we must forgive an infinite number of times. Still another verse, Ephesians 4:26. When we are told that when we get angry, we are not to sin, and we're told to be sure not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Forgiveness, forgetting, repentance. When it comes to the concept or argument or the proposition that forgiving isn't forgetting, I still struggle to match that up with Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, we read, God said, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." I'm concerned when someone says, "I'll forgive, but I won't forget." Somehow, I'm not sure they've truly forgiven. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about forgiveness. We just read from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, where we read, God said, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." I think the point that's being stressed in Hebrews 8:12 is that true forgiveness from a divine as well as a human perspective is to have forgotten that the offense took place. Of course, God can't ever forget something. God is omniscient. But the verse seems to suggest, at least to me, that true forgiveness from both a divine and human perspective is as if we've forgotten that the offense took place. So I believe when we forgive, even when someone hasn't asked for forgiveness, we're mirroring what Jesus did on the cross, and it allows us to guard against harboring resentment, which can produce a root of bitterness, which we're supposed to not to have, as per Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. One mark of true forgiveness on our part is that the memory of the offense will fade over time, and we will no longer dwell on it. Forgiveness, giving up our claim against our debtors, those who have sinned against us. depending on the nature of the offense. A pardon may also include the restoration of a broken relationship. When restoration is reasonable, safe, the restoration of a broken relationship can be part of forgiveness. Talking about forgiveness on the Religious Liberty Report. While restoration of relationships may not always be possible or prudent in every instance, God always wants us to forgive and also to forget. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, a true honor, an inspiration to come to you every week through this live and local Christian radio station, or you can search for the Religious Liberty Report on your favorite podcatcher. Search for the Religious Liberty Report. My name, Alexander Alfano, reminding you that without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Our rights come from God, not from government. That's why they're unalienable rights. They can't be taken from us, legitimately, that is. While America does not have a state religion, we are not a theocracy. America is deeply shaped by Christian moral truths. Religious freedom is enshrined in our Constitution. Religious liberty is the first freedom of the United States. We also want to remind you that the church, believers, are called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation, of our communities, of our families, our homes. We can't just stay on the sidelines, letting the culture do its own thing. That's why here on the Religious Liberty Report, we work to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, so you can better understand and articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, but bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's word as our guide. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. As we navigate in this culture of confusion, with no points of reference, with no objective facts, where divine truth is routinely subordinated to emotion, personal beliefs. Do you know someone who has become hardened to the gospel? Have you become hardened to the gospel? Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. I leave you with this. Galatians 6, verse 8. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, verse 8. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.